As we continue the series in Elisha, as I've stated, I've entitled the series Bold, and I see boldness in Elisha. He's just not afraid to ask God for big things. He's not afraid that, well, if I believe God for this, that, well, what if it don't happen, and am I going to look foolish, and so forth. And so God's working with me a lot about in this series, and I hope He is with you. Last week we looked at, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, the widow's oil, just to kind of refresh you about what happened there. The husband died and left his wife in debt and children, and they were about to come take her children because she couldn't pay her debt. Elisha said, "Ma'am, what do you have in the house?" She says, "Nothing but a jar of oil." Then he says, "Well, go borrow pots from your neighbors and 5-gallon buckets from Home Depot. Go get as many." Well, they didn't have Home Depot back then. Go get as many pots as you can. And so she said, "Now I want you to pour it out." And sometimes God asks us to pour out maybe the last that we have of something, and we're fearful. Well, that's the last that I have, as I'm sure she was. She started pouring, and God continued to pour until all the vessels were full. Then he said, "Go sell a lot of this now, pay off that debt, and now you can live on the rest." And I thought, what a God we serve. Today we're going to look at another miracle in 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to be in verses 8 through 17. But before we look at the miracle, I'm going to take a better part of half of the message and actually look at the first few verses about how God laid on a woman's heart, a Shunammite woman's heart, to care for this missionary. And I thought, wow, what a powerful message about mission. So let's dive into that in verse number 8 of 2 Kings chapter 4. "Now there came a day when Elisha passed over Shunam that there was a prominent woman. She persuaded him to eat food." I bet he didn't have to persuade too hard. Do you guess? "And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food." They didn't have McDonald's on every corner and Cracker Barrels around on the other side. So as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. "So she said to her husband, 'Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually.'" So here we have a prominent lady. Probably means that she was better than average as far as on the economic scale. She had some resources, and she assisted him by having a heart for missions. And I want to ask a couple of questions. What is a missionary, or who are missionaries? And then what does missions actually even mean? First of all, look at this on the screen. You ought to know this before if you've been coming any time. Every believer is a missionary. Every believer is a missionary. Say, "Preacher, no, that's just the Tony Crumbleys that go on long-term mission trips, and maybe you, because you stand up there and preach." No, it's every believer. Well, what does missions mean? It's when believers live out who they are by assisting in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. If you notice the next slide, it says, when believers live out who they are by assisting. It doesn't mean that you're the one up front speaking. It doesn't mean you're the Tony Crumbly that's going. But it does mean that you're being a part of that process. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, how we can do that. But before I go any further, just curious, do we have any missionaries here today? Would you lift your hand? Okay, some of y'all not getting it. It's everybody. You are a missionary. Does every believer or every missionary actually assist in carrying out mission work? Not always. If we choose to sit on the sideline and we choose not to participate, we certainly can do that. But I think you'll see that you might be doing a little more than you think as we continue to look at this story. Look at verse 8 again. It says, "Now there came a day when Elisha passed by. This lady persuaded him to eat food, and so he turned in to eat food every time he came through." So was she involved in the mission process? Sure she was. She was taking her resources. She was feeding the prophet every time he came through. And I love it that she didn't actually stop there. She, as we're going to see in a minute, she even took it beyond there and sent gave the honeydew list to the husband. And that honeydew list was, "Hey, we need to fix up the attic for this guy so he can actually spend the night." But she said, I may not can go and be a mouthpiece of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, but I can feed and support the one who does. If you give financially and serve this church, guess what? If you serve, you're enabling me to stand up here and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You're enabling this message to be recorded, and every now and then I'll get somebody that will shoot an email and say, hey, we're listening to your message, Ricky and Pamela Lawson. I mean, if I don't get one online, sometimes they'll tell me later when I talk to them by email or something, when I missed that one now, just something happened. And so anyway, there are people listening that we don't even know about. So if you're involved in the media back there, in the cafe, teach kids and youth and clean, work on lights, pour concrete, repair toilets, provide flowers. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to skip somebody. But you're doing something. You're giving financially. You're praying. If you support this church, we actively support Steve McVeigh, Tony Crumbly, Pregnancy Resource Centers, Operation Christmas Child, just to name a few that we're giving kind of as you give, as God provides the resources. We don't have $10,000 in the bank. We're living basically $1,000 or $2,000 in the bank, and as it comes in, we're just giving it back out somewhere as God leads us to do. But many of you do this on your own. You support mission work. You give to Tony Crumbly, or you to what's that one you told us about? Compassion International. I couldn't think of it. But just to name a few. But pray for me. You say, well, how can I help you, preacher? Pray for me. Pray that I'll have the strength to be able to balance the business, church life, personal life. That's a tough thing for me to do. Pray that I'll have boldness to continue to share even things that maybe make me uncomfortable, that'll make you uncomfortable. But as Steve McVeigh and I were talking one time, I'm not good buddies with him, but I did meet him for a lunch one time, and we just shared a few years ago, and I went to one of his conferences, that's where it was, when he was starting to share some of this inclusion message, and he said, you know, when God gives it to you and it becomes yours, you can't help but share it. Well, I can help it, but I'm just not going to hold it in. I'm just going to share whatever God gives me, and whatever God does with it, that's up to him. But verse 9, look at this again. She said to her husband, or see verse 9, behold, I perceive this holy man of God who's passing us by continually. Please let us make a little walled upper chamber. In our day, it might be the attic. And let us set a bed for him there, a table and a chair and a lampstand. And it shall be when he comes to us that he can basically not only eat, but he can spend the night there. And I thought, that reminds me of the Samaritan person that says, you know, hey, they bandaged him up, and I think we left him at a hotel, didn't he? And then he even says, hey, if there's more due even after that, I'll pay that too. It's like God took her to another level. You know, she was already doing something, but she said, wow, I see I can do even more. She noticed something unique about this preacher. Did you notice that? Said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. Do you want others to see something different in you that they might say, something's different about that person? I can sense a peace about them. I can sense a joy that's kind of just not normal. And I tell you what, I believe the key to you having that attitude, which is being a witness, by the way, you want to know how you can be a missionary, is simply by saturating your life with the person of Jesus Christ, by growing in grace to the point that you feel so loved and cared for, you're so secure that you're not looking for others' opinion, you're just wrapped up in Jesus, you're not looking to your job for security, you're not looking for accolades from your boss all the time or from your spouse just to make you feel secure. There's nothing wrong with that, and we need to do that, by the way. But when we look to that as our significance and our feeling secure, I'm telling you, we're looking in the wrong place, because they're going to let you down. Am I right? We let each other down. We need to be so focused on Jesus' love for us that I'm telling you, it'll change your countenance. It'll change your attitude in all that you do. But I loved where she just said, hey, let's give them a bed, let's give them a table, chairs, and if it were in today's time, it would be running water. He didn't have that back then, so he had to go to the outhouse. But anyway, running water, I've said this before, if I got a bed to sleep on and I got AC, you know, they didn't have to have that last back, AC and I got a refrigerator and some water in a bathroom, I'm good to go. You know, it don't matter how big the house is. But anyway, you know, what are you doing to support missions or to be involved in the process? Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you. Then he may also remind you, hey, there's something else I want you to do. Just like this lady was feeding this guy, and the Holy Spirit, no question in my mind, prompted her, said, hey, we need to go beyond that. Let's make him a room. Let's care for this wonderful man of God who's really serving. Only God, Holy Spirit can give you ideas. I can throw them out there. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit will be the one to lead you. But be conscious of that. Even ask him. Say, what else can I be doing to be a part of this mission thing of carrying this great message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world? The second part of the message is to see how her serving led to a miracle for herself. I thought this was so cool. Look at verse 11. One day he came there, talking about Elisha, and turned into the upper chamber and rested. So the room that they made upstairs that he came by there and rested. Then he, talking about Elisha, said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. He said to him, say now to her, behold, you have been careful, or basically you've been faithful to us, to care for us. Ask her, what can we do for you? What can I do for you? You've been so good to me. Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army? Basically, he's saying, you've cared for me. Can I put in a good word for you with the king? Another version said. Then here was her answer in the latter part of verse 13 and into 14. And she answered, I live among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, truly, she has no son and her husband is old. Women, be easy on us, you know. Let's say this just came to my mind. I should have looked this up, but it didn't come to mind earlier. But who was it said, she is advanced in years? Somebody in the Bible said that about his wife. She is advanced in years. Now that's a softer way of saying she's done over the hill. Okay. But anyway, she reports to, Elisha's servant, Gehazi. She said, basically, I don't have any children and my husband is old. Now that's a huge request. So Elisha's asking her, you've been good to me? Hey, we'd like to do something special for you. What can we do for you? And she could have asked for a lot of things, but she said, hey, I want a child. And evidently she was not able to have one. What a bold thing to ask God for. Especially up in the years like that. This is why I'm calling this series bold. I want to be bold for more things. I don't want to be afraid if God lays something on my heart and it's totally crazy. And that's usually, by the way, what God does. He'll lay things on your heart that you cannot do in your own power. And he wants you to trust him and take that step of faith, whatever it is. Believe God for big things. Well, let's see what he said to her. He said in verse 15, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, at this season next year, you will embrace a son. And she said, no, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. She basically was saying, now don't be messing with my emotions. Don't be messing with me. Don't be telling me something if this isn't really true. And Elisha basically boldly said, next year you will have a son. What a bold move. What a miracle. Look at verse 17. You think it happened just as the man of God said? The woman conceived and bore a son at the season the next year, as Elisha had said to her. Question. Have you asked God for something like healing, like financial help, like maybe some behavior you're struggling with? You fill in the blank. What is it you're asking God for? Have you even thought to ask God for something that's really bothering you? You might think it's insignificant in God. He's taking care of the affairs of the world. He's making sure the earth is not too close to the sun so we don't burn up. I mean, have you ever thought about just all that there is out there, the order that's in the universe? And we think that this just haphazardly happened over time. Folks, just study one part of the body, the eye or any other part, and this just happened. I mean, to me, it would take more faith to believe this all, we all just evolved through some happenstance of cosmic something than just, it takes more faith to believe that than it would be that there had to be a creator. You know, but anyway, but whatever it is that's bothering you, I want to talk a little bit about, as we close, in James chapter 4, verse 1. I want to talk about how we ask for miracles. Do we even ask at all? And then do we ask sometimes with wrong motives? I think we all, the answer to those questions are yes. We don't ask as we should. We ask wrongly, so forth. But look at James chapter 4, verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you is not the source of your pleasure that wage war in your members. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. That's a little bit of a confusing verse, and here's what I asked the Holy Spirit. I said, help me sort this out. You know, sometimes we want what others have, and we sometimes, Paul talks a lot about not comparing yourselves to other people. We'll look to other people, we'll look to other businesses if we're in the business world, or we'll look to other ministries or other churches. Well, they're running 1,000, I'm only running 50, and they're running 200, and I'm running 50, and you know, that's what I'm saying. And Paul said, beware lest you compare yourselves to other people. We're not to do that, but we're sometimes envious, and I believe what he's saying here, and we cannot obtain, so we have an internal unrest, if you will, of fight and quarreling going on. I believe that he's saying here that we must come to a place of rest, a place of contentment, even if I believe God for something. I have asked for it. It's going to say in a minute that you have not because you asked not. But maybe we have asked for something, but yet we hadn't seen it happen, and we're just kind of frustrated because, well, that preacher said we ought to be believing God for something big, and I've been doing that, and I'm not getting it. And we kind of get frustrated inside. I believe we do have to come to a place of contentment in this believing God for something big, that if it doesn't happen in my timetable, then I'm okay with it, that my contentment and my rest is not in the miracle that God's going to do for me, but it's in the person of Jesus Christ. That I'm not so wishy-washy that I don't run over here like a spoil-whipped child because I didn't get what I asked for. And I've seen myself act like that. Have y'all ever seen anybody? Anybody want to be bold and say you've seen yourself act like that? I see one honest person back there in the media booth, and it ain't Tom. I think we've all gone through that, but I think a lot of the maturing that happens in me as I grow in God's understanding and grace, I grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and I know He loves me whether I see Him fulfill my prayer list or not, that my contentment is not in the basis of His healing me, it's in the contentment of Jesus Christ. Now that flows into what I'm about to say or what we see happening here. I believe here clearly the Shunammite woman was not focused on her not getting a son. She didn't even bring it up until the man of God said, what can we do for you? I love that. What was she doing? She was using her resources to promote missions, to help other people and help this preacher. And now the miracles came. I personally believe, it doesn't say it here, that she had a contentment in God. She had a contentment in who she was. I just believe that. And I know that's true on this side of the cross. That when we come to the place of contentment in our life, then we're setting ourselves up, you see, for a miracle that maybe we've not even focused on. Maybe we've asked God for it in the past. I've seen it happen where I believe God for something, and in my back, you've heard my story about that, that it didn't happen quickly. And I got so wrapped up, I said, you know what? If the miracle comes, my faith in Jesus Christ is not wavering one bit. I'm trusting Him. And then when I wasn't even thinking about it, I all of a sudden I noticed, wow, I'm not having any struggle with this anymore. Now notice the latter part of verse number 2, James chapter 4, verse 2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. Look at the rest of it. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. There's two powerful principles here. One of them is you don't even expect God for a miracle. Well, I've been sick all my life. I've had this going on all my life, and I just guess that's just as good as life's going to be. To me, that's that part of that you've given up on believing God for something that maybe you asked Him for and it didn't happen like you thought it should or in the time frame, so you just kind of quit believing. The other part is that when you ask with wrong motives. Let me give you a wild example. Maybe I'm believing God for financial wealth so I can just go party more on the weekends. Now folks, I think that's a wrong motive. I don't know. Maybe He's told you something different. I don't know. But, you know, maybe He wants to bless you with wealth. He's seen you be faithful with what little you do have, and you, when He prompted you to give, you gave even when it hurt and gave when you didn't, maybe didn't have it in the bank account. And your focus was not on your pleasure. Your focus was on helping that missionary or giving down at the church so we can pay the rent, so we can keep sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That kind of thing. There's hundreds of examples. But maybe I'm inward focused instead of being like this lady. You know, she could have been like the old foolish guy that said, you know, I've built this empire and my barns are full. And well, what did he do? He went and built more barns where he could get more and more and more instead of now being a conduit of that wealth and that conduit of that grace and sending it back out, you see. But this lady, she clearly was not inward focused. She was outward focused. Look at the last part of the screen there. It says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Are you receiving any miracles right now? Could it be we're not, number one, not asking for them, not believing God for them, or number two, maybe we're asking with the wrong motives? I don't know your heart. I don't have a clue. It ain't my business to know what's going on in you. All I can do is look internally as the Holy Spirit speaks to me. But I believe that might be the final questions the God, that Holy Spirit might be asking you today as we have evaluated this story, is that are we believing God for big things? Are we so inward focused that we're focused on the me, myself, and I? Or are we now turning this good news of Jesus Christ, letting it flow now back out to other people as we look and say, hey, how can I be a part? Maybe I'm doing something, but maybe He wants you to do something else. I don't know. Ask Him if He prompts you with something and just give you a warning. Sometimes it's going to be, most of the time it's going to be something. Well, I can't do that. Well, that's when He wants to do something powerful through you. That's when believing God for the big things comes in, right? The idea sparks. Cafe church. Who's there? Nobody's ever done that. Nobody's preaching radical grace around here. I went through all that. I said, but He wouldn't leave me alone about it. So I said, okay, let's go. And so whatever it is, it doesn't have to be it could be something as simple as you doing something at your place of employment that maybe nobody else is doing, be a caregiver for fellow employees. I mean, who knows? Holy Spirit is so creative. You just ask Him and just be willing to listen to Him. Whatever it is, I'd love to hear some stories. I believe there'll be some things sparked out of this message today as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And let me know what it is. Maybe it's something you want to share with me and it's something I feel we need to share with everybody else that they could be a part of it. I don't know. So, but this is not the kind of church where you come to the preacher and say, yeah, the Holy Spirit's given me an idea, now you need to carry it out. I'll go ahead and tell you, if you do that, I'm going to say, no, He didn't tell me to do it. He's telling you to do it. Now, if I need to announce it to the church where somebody else can come alongside of you, but I'm telling you, I've been in this thing a long time. Since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, as the old saying goes, been drugged to church whether I wanted to go or not. And I'm just telling you, in the traditional church, people will bring the idea, and the preacher likes it because he gets to be the one to kind of orchestrate it. Hey, this ain't this preacher. My security is not in me coming up with some grandiose idea and I'm going to look good for it. My security is in Jesus Christ. And I don't have time to do everything he lays on your heart, okay? I'm just going to be playing with you. So, I'm not saying we won't pray with you about it. I'm not saying we won't encourage you. I'm not saying we won't even announce it out there and see what happens. And I've had that happen. And I've thrown things out there that you brought to me and I've not seen anything happen with it. I don't know if you did it on your own later or not. But all I can do is throw it out there and say, hey, if you feel led to be a part of this, jump on board, just like Karen. I don't know, and she may not know either, whether you decided to be involved in Compassion International or not. Sometimes we're real excited about what God calls us to do, and then we'll turn around and get frustrated when somebody else won't do it. I've been on mission trips, come back so excited, want to tell everything that happened, and they're sitting over, okay, preacher, we didn't go. They don't say this, they're kind. But don't, just when God leads you to do something and everybody else don't get excited about it, don't let that damper your call to do it. Just trust God to work it out. And if it don't happen, I can say, I've had people come back from mission trips and they've come to me and say, preacher, they don't seem to care what happened. And we're down here doing this great work for God. I said, they didn't go. And I had somebody else tell me this too. So that's why I'm trying to tell you, don't get discouraged. You just be faithful with what God's calling you to do. It ain't your place to fix everybody else, okay? They're not called to it, but they may be called to something else, and you're not going to be excited about what they're called to. You follow me? Anyway, I don't know if that's happened. Any other word about that? Just somebody got something you want to say, because we're here to help each other and be a part of this thing is way bigger than all of us, and it's a privilege. God can get it done with or without me. Y'all know that, right? Hey, he can get it done without you too. Okay. But he wants us to be involved. What a privilege. What a blessing it is just to be part of something that's as big as anything in this world. I'm telling you, we're talking about the God who made everything, the God who's came and gave his life so that we can be a part of what he's up to. I mean, it's very humbling. It's very humbling. Any other word? This is a good thing to talk about, so Dan and Ava would love to have you. If you want to hang around and chat a minute about that, or chat among yourselves, that's okay.